Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Leviticus, and this is chapter 7 that we're doing this evening. We're going to ask the Lord to anoint chapter 7, but first, chapter starts out by being, what is it, the header that I have there?
Further instructions for the guilt offering.
Further instructions for the guilt offering. Now, a lot of people, when I'm talking about sin, sinners, and sinful organizations in the world that are as sinful as you can get, they're totally demon-possessed, possessions of the devil, they're owned by the devil. They had, the Pope has what they call papal nuncios, and these are permanent representatives of the Pope in different countries. And we, for instance, have one in Washington, D.C. And they state that this man is even ahead, is over and above the President of the United States. And we have statements to this effect. These people are so busy doing paperwork and learning all these new laws that the papal nuncios, the representative of the Pope here in the United States, says that they're all higher than the press of the United States. They are immune from taxes. These Vatican-owned businesses in the United States, they're immune from any criminal activity. They can rape your wife over at the United Nations building and no one can do a thing about it. I heard the marshal saying, I don't want to go on duty over at the United Nations building because these people over there, there's different representatives from other countries to the United States are over there, and I'm afraid that they'll rape my wife and there isn't anything I could do about it. Because they say that they're immune from the law. And this is why God calls them the lawless one. They say that they are above the law. They're above every president, every king, everybody, just even a representative. Just some small little guy that the Pope sends over here as his papal nuncius. Or his legate, which is also the representative of the Pope here in the United States. Then this Noriega fled to the papal nuncius, the representative of the Pope in Panama. And he hid there for a while, but of course the representative of the Pope ratted him out and gave him up over to the authorities that the Pope also controls. And here's a couple of statements that I'm going to have one of the sisters read to you. That is just documentation, actual statements that the Pope himself has said, and it's been set up this way for centuries. But people are so busy doing paperwork and complying with all these new government regulations and worried about terrorism and the taxes and having to take care of all these special interest groups with their tax money and everything like that in the United States, that you haven't got time to pay attention to how in stealth these different representatives of Rome, of the Pope in Rome, have eaten the very fiber of the being of the United States out of the United States. There's like, this is a secret government within our government. And many people have been intimidated by them because they, like, when they're running presidents, people for president of the United States, they'll say, now look, we put you up there, and if you start telling on us and everything because we want us to look like have the snow white image, we'll put your lights out. This is what happened to Kennedy. And this is what happens to many people. He was definitely a Roman Catholic, but he started getting adored so much by people that he got all puffed up and wouldn't listen to the Pope anymore. He wouldn't even allow Cardinal Spellman to come into the front door. He had him made him come into the back door. But here, go ahead, Jeannie, and read a couple of statements here that we're including in my new piece of literature.
Any country that accepts a nuncio.
In other words, if this country accepts a representative of the Pope here in this country, we're the same as saying he's over the President of the United States. This guy from Rome is over our president and is over us, and no one can do anything about it, they say. Okay, go ahead.
A nuncio is a permanent official who represents the Pope of Rome at a foreign court, which in our case, the United States.
Is the United States, okay? Then what?
Or seat of government. In this case, which was once our government, the USA.
But it's not our government any longer. It's now, and they just say it blatantly out, and President Bush says, I'll take all the orders from the Pope and his papal nuncios here in the United States, and President Bush has built a shrine in Washington, D.C. for the Pope and these cardinals. And, you know, it's like, this isn't one nation under God. These presidents who stated that they would uphold, they swore to God that they'd uphold the U.S. Constitution and protect and defend it, have given us over, instead of we the people giving ourselves over to the Pope, these presidents have done it for us. Do you think that's right? I don't. Okay, and then what? Because they lied. They swore under oath that they were going to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution, and they have not done that at all. They've sold us to the, according to what God calls them, the dogs. Then what?
Again, this is a papal representative of the Vatican or Roman Catholic cult. What the Vatican is saying is that we must recognize him as the dean of the diplomatic corps above every other diplomat, even the president himself.
Even the president of the United States himself, we must recognize him as the dean over us. And all he is just a pagan, false religion, and he's not over me. I refuse. My God is over me, and this nation, God is supposed to be over this nation. It's the oath that we swear is one nation under God, not under the stinking papal nuncios, some representative, more than 99% sure that it's a homosexual. And then everybody's saying, God bless America. Why should he? God says he curses people like this. Amen?
Amen.
So if people want to God bless America, well, then we should make these people go back to their Roman Empire and stay there. Because, you know, we're not to be kind, we're not to be loving two masters, we can only love one. Now, I pray that these people will be saved, but they're liars. They're such liars that they've taken over this country under these false pretenses. Satan is still up to his old tricks. He's still the liar and a thief and a murderer. And so it's good, you know, I'm doing this for love of your soul too, to tell you who the enemy is and where he's coming from. Because nobody knows how come they're taking the Bible out of schools. Well, because the Pope is a possession of the devil, and these papal nuncios people are just his puppets. And even the president bows to the Pope and says, I'll do anything the Pope says for me to do. You people didn't vote these presidents in office to give us over to the dogs, to Rome, to the Pope, did you?
No.
Well then, you know, this man, Bush, and all these others who swore to uphold and defend the U.S. Constitution should be put out of office. And any other person that would do such a thing as that. Then what's the other statement?
the rest of this statement?
Yes.
This was the established order in Europe for hundreds of years before the Reformation. The most famous nuncio, or papal representative of the Pope, was Cardinal Wolsey in England. The secret, sinister Cardinal Gabriel Montalvo is the papal nuncio, the Pope's representative over the United States and Washington, D.C.
And he's over the President of the United States, they say. And Bush says the same thing. We have a statement, as did we read that yesterday on the tape?
Yes.
Yes, so there you have it. And I've been telling people these things for around 35 years, 40 years, really. And they're going to wake up way too late. Far too late. Because these people have started all the wars. They're the worst enemy of our country and the world. And then there's another statement?
Yes. During the Dark Ages, millions of men, women, and even children left Europe to fight in crusades against the Muslims in the Mideast. Most of them never returned. The popes got their wealth and lands.
Right, because when they left, they couldn't return. And so their lands were just sitting there. And the pope, because he runs the government over there, he's running Europe, just grabbed the land and kept it for themselves. Then what?
Little did they know that Rome had secretly started Islam, and that for the Vatican, it was the best enemy money could buy to do away with anyone the Vatican hates.
And the Vatican is the one that is putting out all these messages on the media that we should never hate, and that we shouldn't, when Jesus tells us to hate the devil, amen?
No.
And they're the biggest haters in the world. Christians don't burn people at the stake, and they don't force people, use military force and police force to make people believe in what we believe in. If people don't believe the way that the Bible teaches us to teach people to believe, well, we just let them go. We would never, no born-again Christian would ever force anybody, their beliefs on anyone. All right, so let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless chapter 7, to anoint chapter 7 of Leviticus. Father, bless this chapter. Bless it into us to give us the power, the might, the strength from you, which is in your spirit and in these words, which you are spirit and life, to be able to stand another day, one day at a time. Just take it one day at a time. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to verse 1.
Leviticus chapter 7, further instructions for the guilt offering. King James Version, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy.
Right, it's most holy because it represents Jesus, and it also, and then all the other offerings represent us, the body of Jesus. The body that God lives in. Okay, and then what?
In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the caul that is above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering.
And then, okay, and this is for sin, so it is symbolic of the Lord dying for our sins. All right, and then go ahead.
Every male among the priests shall eat thereof. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat offering that is baken in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan, and in the pan, shall be the priest's that offereth it. And every meat offering, mingled with oil and dry, shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. Translation, verse 1 through 10. Further instructions for the guilt offering. These are the instructions for the guilt offering, which is most holy. The animal sacrificed as a guilt offering must be slaughtered where the burnt offerings are slaughtered, and its blood sprinkled against the sides of the altar. The priest will then offer all its fat on the altar, including the fat from the tail, the fat around the internal organs, the two kidneys with the fat around them near the loins, and the lobe of the liver, which is to be removed with the kidneys. The priest will burn these parts on the altar as an offering to the Lord made by fire. It is a guilt offering. All males from priests' families may eat the meat, and it must be eaten in a sacred place, for it is most holy. For both the sin offering and the guilt offering, the meat of the sacrificed animal belongs to the priest in charge of the atonement ceremony. In the case of the whole burnt offering, the hide of the sacrificed animal also belongs to the priest. Any grain of offering that has been baked in an oven, prepared in a pan, or cooked on a griddle belongs to the priest who presents it. All other grain offerings, whether flour mixed with olive oil or dry flour, are to be shared among all the priests and their sons. King James Version, verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Beside the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for an heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest's that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice, and on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. And if any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It shall be an abomination, and the soul that eateth of it shall bear his iniquity. Translation, verse 11 through 18. Further instructions for the peace offering. These are the instructions regarding the different kinds of peace offerings that may be presented to the Lord. If you present your peace offering as a thanksgiving offering, The usual animal sacrifice must be accompanied by various kinds of bread, loaves, wafers, and cakes, all made without yeast and soaked with olive oil. This peace offering of thanksgiving must also be accompanied by loaves of yeast bread. One of each kind of bread must be presented as a gift to the Lord. This bread will then belong to the priest, who sprinkles the altar with blood from the sacrificed animal. The animal's meat must be eaten on the same day it is offered. None of it may be saved for the next morning. However, if you bring an offering to fulfill a vow or as a freewill offering, the meat may be eaten on that same day, and whatever is left over may be eaten on the second day. But anything left over until the third day must be completely burned up. If any of the meat from this peace offering is eaten on the third day, it will not be accepted by the Lord. It will have no value as a sacrifice, and you will receive no credit for bringing it as an offering. By then, the meat will be contaminated. If you eat it, you will have to answer for your sin.
This is also symbolic of eating your food on a daily basis from the Lord, reading the Word, and drinking the Spirit every day. Because the next day, a lot of people say, well, it's because they didn't have refrigerators back then. That isn't it at all. Those are carnal people that say things like that. This has to do with the spiritual realm, all right? Then what else?
King James Version, verse 19. And the flesh that toucheth any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man, or any unclean beast, or any abominable unclean thing, and eat of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Ye shall eat no manner of fat, of ox, or of sheep, or of goat. And the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beasts, may be used in any other use, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. For whosoever eateth the fat of the beast, of which men offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire. The fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. Translation, verse 19 through 31. Meat that touches anything ceremonially unclean may not be eaten. It must be completely burned up. And as for meat that may be eaten, it may only be eaten by people who are ceremonially clean. Anyone who is ceremonially unclean, but eats meat from a peace offering that was presented to the Lord, must be cut off from the community. If anyone touches anything that is unclean, whether it is human defilement or an unclean animal, and then eats meat from the Lord's sacrifices, that person must be cut off from the community. The forbidden blood and fat. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give the Israelites the instructions. You must never eat fat, whether from oxen or sheep or goats. The fat of an animal found dead or killed by a wild animal may never be eaten, though it may be used for any other purpose. Anyone who eats fat from an offering given to the Lord by fire must be cut off from the community. Even in your homes, you must never eat the blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who eats blood must be cut off from the community. The portion for the priests. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Give these further instructions to the Israelites. When you present a peace offering to the Lord, bring part of it as a special gift to the Lord. Present it to him with your own hands as an offering given to the Lord by fire. Bring the fat of the animal together with the rest and present it to the Lord by lifting it up before him. Then the priest will burn the fat on the altar, but the breast will belong to Aaron and his sons. King James Version, verse 32. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel." This is the portion of the anointing of Aaron and of the anointing of his sons out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire in the day when he presented them to minister unto the Lord in the priest's office, which the Lord commanded to be given them of the children of Israel in the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offering, of the meat offering, and of the sin offering, and of the trespass offering, and of the consecrations, and of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses in Mount Sinai, in the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their oblations unto the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Translation, verse 32 through 38. You are to give the right thigh of your peace offering to the priest as a gift. The right thigh must always be given to the priest who sprinkles the blood and offers the fat of the peace offering. For I have designated the breast and the right thigh for the priests. It is their regular share of the peace offering brought by the Israelites. This is their share. It has been set apart for Aaron and his descendants from the offerings given to the Lord by fire from the time they were appointed to serve the Lord as priests. The Lord commanded that the Israelites were to give these portions to the priests as their regular share from the time of the priest's anointing. This regulation applies throughout the generations to come. These are the instructions for the whole burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the ordination offering, and the peace offering. The Lord gave the instructions to Moses on Mount Sinai when he commanded the Israelites to bring their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai.
All right, now we have some commentary.
7 verse 12 through 15. The most common type of peace offering was the offering of thanksgiving. It's really important to thank God in an offering of thanksgiving. It involved an addition to the animal sacrifice, the presentation of both kinds of leavened and unleavened breads, part of which was sacrificed and part eaten in a communal meal. This actually shows that we are to be spiritual beings as well as beings that are natural. We are not to be natural even though we are. We are not to be led by the flesh. But this shows that we are to acknowledge that the Spirit of the Lord is living in a natural human body, that we are God-men and women. From this, the Israelites and the people of the Lord today, the believers, we must learn, and the Bible teaches, the importance of public expression of thanksgiving to God. In other words, we are not to save our praises just for when we're in private. God wants us to praise Him before others as well. Now, if the Lord really touches you when you're talking to people and they say something, or there's a blessing, and you can say, quote, "Praise the Lord," unquote, but they have to know you mean it. An excellent indication for this is when He has given us a victory over sin or any other kind of victory. This public expression of gratitude to God will not only enhance our spiritual growth, but be a first step toward helping others as well. 7 verse 1. These are the instructions for the guilt offering, which is most holy. Quote, "It is most holy," unquote, is literally, quote, "holy of holies," unquote. Hebrew, kodesh, or kodeshim. This signifying the sacredness of the trespass offering in comparison to all things holy and set apart to the Lord. 7 verse 10. All other grain offerings, whether flour mixed with oil or dry flour, are to be shared among all the priests and their sons. Quote, "belonging to all the sons of Aaron," unquote. The priests were permitted to eat some of the offerings. Really, they must eat them. In other words, they must symbolically eat the flesh of Christ and acknowledge His blood. And they must eat it within the holy place. So people who are not really priests, and now we're a nation of priests, we must eat the flesh of Christ and drink His blood spiritually within the holy place. That means inside us, verse 6, which emphasized the sacredness of an offering set apart to the Lord. We are to be only the Lord's. The sons of Aaron served as priests because of their family heritage and had to maintain their own purity and ritual cleanness. That's the same thing we as a nation of priests must do. 7 verse 26. Quote, "even in your homes you must never eat the blood of any bird or animal," unquote. Quote, "you shall not eat any blood," unquote, refers to the eating meat without draining the blood. You can see that in 1 Samuel 14:33. Quote, "then they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, ye have transgressed. Roll a great stone unto me this day," unquote. This prohibition is because of the atoning significance of blood. The life is in the blood. So we are to spiritually drink the blood of Christ, but that's all that this is symbolic of. The blood of animals can't take away sin. Only the blood of Christ can. So we are to acknowledge only the life that is in Christ's blood and have it applied to our souls to take away our sins by faith.
I praise the Lord. That was chapter 7, the book of Leviticus. We'll be doing chapter 8 this evening, the Lord willing. Till then, keep thinking of these things and recognize the Lord's enemy. Pray that they'll be bound on earth as so that the Lord will bind them in the kingdom of heaven and expose him. Exposing him is the way that we bind him, and the Lord will then bind him in heaven. Keep looking up and be planted by the water. God bless you and praise the Lord.